So last week we left off with the first Teretz and Tosfos. Again, as we were talking about this morning, as you were working on Seder, so Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, why were Chazal Masakim B'dikas Chametz? As we thrashed out extensively last week, Rashi holds that Rashi says that the Tam HaTakana of B'dikas Chametz was the Bayra B'Yamatzeh. As we chazer this morning, Tosfos has two or three kashas against that. Number one, you put together Gemara Dav Dalet plus Gemara Dav Vav, Bittul is both sufficient and necessary. Midaraisa Bittul Bal Masagi, Bittul solves your problem by Rabbi Matze, and Haboyog Tzara Sheivatel, everyone's doing Bittul. But not only is Bittul, not only does Bittul seem like if you have a choice, Bittul seems like a more attractive option. It's easier and it's more effective because it covers even the things you don't find. It's also required. You're doing Bittul anyways, and Bittul solves the problem. So what's the point of doing B'dikam? Number two, Tosfos had pointed out, the Gemara Dav Yud, Amud Beis, Rava's Shilas, Kikar B'Shmei Korah, the details of how high you have to climb, how low do you have to creep, to crawl, in order to get the Chametz, it sounds from the way the Gemara expresses it, that the issue is not about owning Chametz, but eating Chametz. And finally, Rekiva Eger had pointed out that Rashi Tosfos himself points out, but there is the Baal Yom HaBeis. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos how to read the Mishnah there about delayed B'dikas Chametz. I didn't do B'dikas Chametz on time after delay. How far do I delay it? So Rashi studiously avoids reading the Mishnah Kipshuto that La'achra HaMoed means after Yom Tov. Tosfos says, yeah, because Tosfos Rashi thinks it's all about Rabbi Matzeh. It's all about Rabbi Matzeh. So La'achra, after Yom Tov is over, there's no reason for B'dikas Chametz. But Pashup Shan the Mishnah like Tosfos. Achamoy means after Yom Tov is over, you're still in Yisrael Achiyah. That's what all these points lead Tosfos to believe that the concern that B'dikas Chametz is solving, the problem that B'dikas Chametz was created, was legislated to solve, is not a problem of owning Chametz, a problem rather of eating Chametz. Then everything falls into place. Yeah, of course Bittul solves the problem of owning Chametz, but if the Chametz is still physically extant, still exists physically, even though I don't own it, this Bittul, it's not mine, Shlev, I can still eat it. It's still edible. And that's why the Gemara Daf Yud, Rava with the Kikar B'Shmei Korah, and that's why there is, it's meaningful to speak of B'dikas Chametz even after Yom Tov is over, because of the concern of eating Chametz Sh'avar Alav Pesach. Nothing wrong with owning Chametz Sh'avar Alav Pesach, but there is an Issur Rabban against eating Chametz Sh'avar Alav Pesach. But, as we saw, Tosfos raises a problem against themselves. On the one hand, there's so many rayas to Tosfos, but there's also a weakness. Again, and we expect to find this, because you have to ask yourself, Rashi is looking at all the evidence, what would have prompted Rashi to understand? He could either say it's Bar Matzah, or he could say it's Isra Achila. The Chametz, B'dikah is coming to solve one or the other. Again, we started last week from the beginning, start from the Psukim. So you see, there is Isra Achila, or maybe several Isra Achila, and then the Isra of ownership, or again, maybe several. By Rabbi Matzib, we'll have to figure out Bli Neder as we move on to Masechta. Are those two related Isurim? Are they a single Isra? Whatever it is, it's sort of the zone of Isra Achila, and it's the zone of Isra of ownership. Achila and by Rabbi Matzib. So it stands to reason it's going to be one or the other, because Chametz is meant to solve one or the other. So what would have prompted Rashi to choose by Rabbi Matzib? Tosfos has so many rayas. Rashi knew about those gemaras also. Okay, you can madchik here, you can madchik, but something must have prompted him to choose by Rabbi Matzeh over Achila. Why? The Tosfos says, well, we are shver also. We think we have an answer. Why are they shver also? As we saw, they're shver also because such a good answer, it should come more often. According to Rashi, that the whole purpose of Rabbi Matzeh, of B'dikas Chametz, is to solve Rabbi Matzeh. Chametz is just about the only item where that's usher to own. Okay, so that's why Chametz is just about the only item where there's a din of B'dikah. It's not the first year I heard from a Shechter, because I came to visit YU during the 2 years that preceded actually coming to YU. I heard him speak about Ksubas, I heard him speak about the Bava Metzia a little bit. But my first year in Shir, I think in the first year, we learned Pesachim. 93-94. So I think in the first year he already pointed out we'll come back to this idea that the Rav related B'dikas Chametz Drabanan to to the din of Bedika for Avodah Zarah. Min HaTorah, there's a difference between Avodah Zarah and Chutzar, it's Avodah Zarah and Eretz Yisrael. Either way, it's forbidden to have any Hanaf from Avodah Zarah and to have ownership in Eretz Yisrael, even a mitzvah to search for it. Tzarech L'Sharesh Achareh, had a few weeks ago in the Parsha. Tzarech L'Sharesh Achareh, you have to actually search. Din Darais, you have to seek out the Avodah Zarah and Eretz Yisrael so you can, proactively so you can destroy it. So the Rav suggested that B'dikas Chametz, Rabban is modeled after B'dikah for Avodah Zarah D'Oraisa. We'll come back to that idea of modeling soon. But meanwhile, he said, just about the only item you're not allowed to own is Chametz. Okay, there's another item you're not allowed to own, Avodah Zarah. There too you find the notion of B'dikah. Okay. So for Rashi, the fact that Chi of B'dikah is such a rarity in Halacha, how often you have a Chi of B'dikah, it stands to reason because it's solving a problem which is rare, a problem the rights of owning. According to Tosas, that it has to, the Chi of B'dikah is solving a problem, make sure you don't eat it. Loads of things you can't eat. There's no mitzvah drabban of B'dikah's chazir, or B'dikah's basar chamar, or B'dikah's basar b'chalav, or B'dikah's kalaya karim. Why is chametz unique? Hatam she'achmiru cham levdo chametz more levara more than anything else. You saw one answer. We dealt with last time. Hatam she'achmiru kan tfei mi b'shari suriyana. And then it gives another answer. So last time we dealt with the psychological issue of bedili mine. We saw the Ritva unpacks a little bit more. Okay. Then he says, Inami, another answer. Here's another explanation for, again, to presumably to explain why it is that Chazal imposed the Chiyuv Bedika on Chametz, but not on other items which are usher to eat or usher to have Hana. Inami, Shani, Chametz, Shechemira, Ba, Torah, Laver, Ba, Rabbi, Matzeh. You know why Chazal imposed the Chiyuv Bedika's Chametz, Midrabanan, by Chametz, but not by other machal sasuras, not by other isuriha. No, you know why? Because the Torah was machmer, because Chametz is by Rabbi Matzeh. So that's why Hechmir Chacham levdok levara fil hechad debitlo. That's why Midrabanan you have to have, because of this by Rabbi Matzeh, and that's why you have a din drabanan of bedika, even though you did bitl. So at first, that's Rashi. The whole Tosfos is trying to explain, defend why they disagree with Rashi. But you read this, and that's Rashi. I mean, Rashi doesn't say Bayra Matzah. Shkoyach. Tos trying to explain, no, we think it's not Bayra Matzah. That's what they said from the outset. You'd say like Rashi, it's Geshmak. Then, of course, Bedika is unique to Chametz, because Bayra Matzah is unique to Chametz. Bayra Matzah is unique to Chametz, the level of the right. So that's why Bedika is unique to Chametz, the level of Jabbanon. We're trying to think, but we hold, says Tosfos, that Bedika is not meant to solve Barley Mutz. It's meant to solve Achila. So I said, if solve Achila, why Dafka Chametz as opposed to all other Machalas Asur, as opposed to all other Isuri Hana? The answer is because Barley Mutz. Going back to Rashi. And then at the end he says, oh, Mishum Dilma Asul Mechle. And it throws in, at the end, oh, because you may even come to eat it. If you read the Tosfos, if you don't read Tosfos carefully, okay, he gave another tirus. Read Tosfos carefully, it strikes you, as I think it struck just about everyone here over the course of Morning Seder, which has happened. In trying to defend his Shita, he just says, well, Rashi. I know the Kasha is not fair according to Rashi. Tosfos was asking Kasha himself. The Torah says, well, go back to Rashi. And then, to add insult to injury, the injury says, oh, Achila. It almost seems like, oh, you know, we'll throw in some Isra Achila. That's Tosfos' thing. Well, how does it read? Is it by Rabbi Matzeh? Is it Achila? What's going on? Very difficult. The truth is, if you read carefully, it becomes clearer. But I want to show you first, and I'm very, very excited that over the course of Morning Seder, guys are working. The most exciting part is the guys are working very hard. Number one. Working very hard in Tysus, working very hard in Ron. That was across the board. And I was very, very glad the guys have the persistence to keep working and begin to put the pieces together in the run. Let's take a look at that run. Now, the run's a little confusing. Again, the run is very subtle here. Very subtle. But once you notice what he's saying, very sharp. And we'll come back ultimately. We'll see the Ron. We'll develop a little more what's going on in the Ron himself. We'll see some examples. And then we'll hopefully see if we take it to the next step. It can the Ron will give us a concept that we can use to understand Tosis as well. Over the course of Daf Alpha Medal, if the Ron actually has showed some of you during the morning, say the Ron actually has a long essay. He tells you very deliberately, I'm going to write an essay on Bedika and Bittel. He says in the end of the narrow lines. There's so many items and threads mixed together in the world of Bedika and Bittel. I decided I'm going to lay it out very clearly. The Ron does not do this often, particularly not in the Ron and the Riff. Usually just comment line by line, paragraph by paragraph comments. Here is very organized essay, this question, that question. Almost like a prima gadim in a hakdama. Very fascinating, unusual, uncharacteristic style of the Ron. But at the very end, for now, maybe we'll come back to more of it later, but at the very end, Mashi Hetzricha Chacham Bedika Bechametz Yoser Mishari Surim. And that's the question that Tosis at. Why did Chazal impose the Chiyah Bedika by Chametz more than by any other Macholos Asuras? So he says, Imata, skipping that line, he picks up Tosis. Imata Omer Shechos Tishol Yavo La'achlo. If you're going to say, he developed something along the lines of Rashi. That's what he begins with. We'll get back to that. Is if you're going to say like Tosis, Aaron and Yosef pointed out the Hagos Me Alphas Yashan. Not clear who that is. Some of the Vilna printers found some ancient print of the Rif with someone's Hagos. Some Talmud Chacham from the 1500s, 1600s, not sure who. He said, Kedivere Rishonim, he says Rashi. Very difficult. Pasha says Tosis. Not sure who wrote it. So hard to know how to explain it. But Pasha Prime, he's saying Tosis. If you're going to say that the rationale for the Bedin B'dikas Chametz is like Tosis, that you're worried about eating it, Kedivra Rishonim is all, as the earlier Rishonim said, specifically about Tosis, Hainu time the Chashi Beitzveh. So you know what, so then how come they were more concerned about Bedika here as opposed to other Machalos Asuras? Mishum the chametz lo bedili minei kula shata. Number one, lo bedili minei. The chomer isurei tvei de isbe karis. So he presents the first teretz and tosis with a twist. He says number one, lo bedili. Plus chametz is psychologically, people have a less aversion, and the isur itself is more severe. Isbe karis. You look at the Ritva, who is a contemporary of the Ron. They're part of the same school. Talmida, they're part of the school. They're Rabban the Rajba, but Ritva also that we saw, he also has the two pieces together. It's a solution to the Nazir problem. Right? Nazir is Lobedili also, but Nazir is not a Chiyav Karis. Nazir is not a Chiyav Karis. Okay. So he's basically giving the first Teretz and Tosis. But then watch what he does. The Efshar, he's saying, I'm explaining to you why it is that Chazal felt more need to impose a Bedikas Chametz than Bedikas Shar Machalos Asuras. Even though Bedikas Chametz is to avoid eating, it's a problem to eat Chametz, it's also a problem to eat Arla, Klei, Karen, Bas, Bechal. Yes. But there's more concern that having around the house will come to eat by Chametz. Because Lobediline and the stakes are higher because it's Issa Chametz. Okay. So it says, now that I explained that, the Efshar Ode, maybe I can also say, not a new answer, a new application of the answer that he gave. Shemipnei tam zeh, because of this reason meaning, tam zeh mean what he just said, bedili minei, kares. The reasons why Chazal were more concerned about chametz versus sha'ari surim, and therefore imposed a chiv bedika midrabanan by chametz, but not by sha'ari surim, that reason might also explain why hachemira Torah bo lavar alavar by Rabbi Matzah. Maybe that's why the Torah was more machmer by chametz to impose an isur by Rabbi Matzah. A quick, very quick half a line there. Maybe that's why efshar. Maybe the pnei tamzeh, it's like this 10-11 words. The pnei tamzeh hachemira Torah bo Lava of the Rabba Matze. 12 words. Those 12 words, but what do they even mean? I mean, that's why the Torah imposed Rabba and Matze. So Yosef Engel points out in the beginning of Lakach Tov, he says, you know what the Ran just said? The Ran is trying to explain, says this, unpack it. The Ran is explaining why the Torah made Issa Daraisa by Rabba Matze. We want the Torah made Issa Daraisa by Rabba Matze. And the reason, you know why the Torah made Issa Daraisa by Rabba Matze? Because Chametz Obedilimine, because Chametz is Issa Kares. That's why the Torah made it by Matze. That's why Chazal made it in Drabbanon of Bedika. The number you pointed out to me, what Rabbi Yosef Engel says. What the Ran is saying, he's giving the explanation for the Din Doraisa. And he's saying, you know why the Torah made, what question is he answering? He's asking, how come the Torah made an Isser against owning Chametz, but not against owning other trade for food? Why not say, you're not allowed to own bacon? The Torah doesn't say that, but there is a Din Doraisa that you're not allowed to own Chametz. And what's the reason? You know why? Why did the Torah only forbid owning Chametz? Because, what did the Ran say? How come the Torah forbade min ha-Torah, the ownership of chametz? Oh, because you're more likely to come to eat it. More likely to come to eat it because of l'bedil mine. If you do come to eat it, the outcome is worse because of iser kares. In other words, take a step back for a moment. The underlying premise of the Ran is why is there an iser daraisa by Rabbi Matzeh? Because of achil. Once we say that, you have to understand why the Torah only protect the Israelites chametz with another Issa D'Raisa. The Torah didn't protect other Machalos Asuris with an added Issa D'Raisa by Rabbi Matzeh. The answer is, God, what did you say? Oh, because it's all big deal. The Ran says, this discussion we're having, why would the Chazal feel more of a need to protect the Israelites chametz? Because they have a love of D'Raisa. Now, the premise of that's fascinating. And it gets us thinking about a couple of larger, important larger points. Number one, the underlying premise of the Ran is that the reason why the Torah forbade ownership of chametz is to protect, to avoid people eating chametz. And Yosef Engel says, you know, people usually think, Yosef Engel was, we keep mentioning his name, he was a great Polish Talmud Chacham, the early 1900s, pre-war. He lived, I think, largely in the area around Warsaw, I believe. So he wrote a whole series of svarim. The most famous one is Asav and Daraisa. That's the most widely published one. Asav and Daraisa is Aramaic for Letters of the Torah, Osios HaTorah. So he says he has a collection of 27 different shtiklach, different sugis to publish on. So I'm calling it Letters of the Torah, because after all, there are 27 letters in the alphabet in which the Torah is written. And you say, wow. So there are 22. The answer is Menatzbach. He's counting those separately. He's a creative thinker. It's interesting in terms of Melachat Kosev also to think about that. So he says, another point, he had enough money to publish another Sefer, and he had 17 pieces. So he says, Tov is the Gematria 17, Lakach Tov. Brilliant Talmud Chacham, absolutely incredibly creative, and outstanding Bekiyas, outstanding Hekev. In Chazal, Rishon and Midrashim, dripping with Bekiyas. So when he wants to make a point, he'll say, oh, and by the way, here are there like another five Rayas. So he says, he opens this piece, Simon Ches and Lekach Tov, he basically says, you know, sometimes people think that Gzeirus are only drabanim. Every exeter is drabanim. He says, that's absurd. And let me show you 15-20 rayas. I'll show you many, 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 many examples of a siyag d'oraisa, a din d'oraisa, which itself is there, min ha-Torah, to protect other dinim d'oraisa. Example number one, this Ran. This is what the Ran just say. I have a din d'oraisa by Rabbi Matzeh. Why is it there? Why did the Torah impose the Isser of Achil by Matzeh? To protect against the Isser of people by Isser Achil. So much so that the Ran is even bothered. So why did the Torah make this Siyag D'Oraisa here, not there? You have to explain. Lo Bedili Mineh, Kares, and so forth. There are many other examples of, there's another layer to this run also, which we'll come back to. But first, let's take a look at a Rashi, a pasuk in Chumash that we say all the time. We say and hear this pasuk at least three times a week, in quick succession, Friday night. Chula, shall we say it in Shmon Esrei, we say it after Shmon Esrei, and you say or hear it in Kiddush. How many people had a chance to see that pod parak beis, pasuk beis, and bereshis? Very good. V'echal l'kim yom ha-shvi. Melachta v'asher asa. V'echal l'kim yom ha-shvi melachta v'asher asa. We say the pasuk so often, like the Mesillas Yesharim just told us this morning, some of the things that are most, the most familiar are the things that we think about the least. He meant that we don't, another angle of what he said is, the things that are most common, we often analyze less. We're so used to hearing it, sort of take it for granted. What do those words mean? What's Rashi's problem? Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, and Bereishis. Rashi has two answers to a very, very fundamental question, that Pasuk. What's the question?
Why does it say on Yom HaShvi?
Yeah! V'yachal Elokim, exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? V'yachal Elokim v'yom HaShvi, after Rosh Asa. If you actually translate, it means, on the seventh day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished his malach. On the seventh day, I thought the whole point was he did malach for 6 days, but on the seventh day, Vayanach v'yom HaShvi, the way we say in Aseres HaDibros. Vayanach, on the seventh day he rested, he didn't do malach. Here it says, he finished the malach on the seventh day. Is that permitted for people to do? That's what he's supposed to keep. We keep Shabbos, yeah, Hashem kept Shabbos. Really? So he's supposed to, you come home, at some point over Shabbos, stop doing malacha and stay resting for the rest of Shabbos? Really? He did malacha on Shabbos. He finished the malacha on the seventh. How are you talking? So Rashi has two answers. Kedarki doesn't ask the question directly, but he's clearly giving two answers to this question. The second answer, which is not for now, but worth thinking about, he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu did create one thing on Shabbos, and that was Menucha. To understand exactly what that means and how that answers the question. Not for now, but intriguing to think about. For now, I want to focus on his first answer. The first answer Rashi gives, what does he say, Rabbi Sai? What does he say? Yeah. Human beings are not, even yekas aren't that precise. Right? Some human beings are more precise, some humans less precise. But no human being is as precise as Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish filled every last second of the sixth day with malacha. The very first second of the seventh day, he already was no longer doing malacha. So the entire day six up until the line was malacha, and the entire day seven from the first moment on was malacha free. What does the pasuk mean by chala kemi amashri? The first moment of malachalessness was the seventh day. Not only that, but to the human observer, it would have looked as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had gone into day seven. And if a human being would try this, Rashi says, if I try to go up, mamish, go up to the last minute, what's going to happen? You go over. And if you go up to the line, you don't always stop exactly at the line. So that's why Rashi says, we have to most of Mechol HaKodesh. Human beings can't stop at the line and not go over. It's too dangerous. So that's why we have to stop 18 minutes earlier, half hour, whatever it is, so 5 minutes earlier. So Sefer Shabbos is necessary because we might go over the line. What did Rashi just say on this? What Gezerah did Rashi just mention? The Sefer Shabbos. He just said that Tosefer Shabbos is there. You know why you have Tosefer Shabbos? You know why a Jew has to stop Malacha early, a few minutes before Shkia? Because otherwise you may go over. You need a buffer zone, a Gzeira. Interesting. You look at the... Now, it's not 100% clear to Rashi whether this is Daraisa or Drabbanan, though from context it sounds Daraisa. You look at the Shultai Giborim, you either open a Gemara Yuma to the back, to the riff in the back, or you just open the Gemara Makomos, where it's copied. The Shultai Giborim was a collection of comments of Rishonim, he says it beferish. Mahu atosafes. This is the sugya of Tosafes Shabbos in Yuma, the last parak of Yuma. What's the Tosafes all about? Be most of Mechol HaKosh, starring Shabbos early. You have to be careful to avoid Safek. Don't end up doing Malacha after Shkia, in Dein HaShmasha, between Shkia and Tetzik Chavim during twilight. Not okay. Masl Shivisas Nebel Yom. You better start your malachalessness when it's still daytime. And he goes on to say, Tosef Ezu, there's no kares. It's not a lav. It's not Shabbos Yontif itself. Aval HaTosef for the last line, Yesh Ba Mitzvah Aseh, it's a mitzvah doraisa, Kadesh Yisrachek Adam and HaSafik V'yasel Mivod Yom. Sounds like he's saying there, the Shiz word is quite clear that Tosefes Shabbos is a din d'oraisa. The Gemara Yuma Payalot and elsewhere, Rosh Hashanah, brachas derives from a pasuk, and he seems to understand that's a real drasha Gemara d'oraisa, a real din d'oraisa, to have Tosefes in order to avoid doing malach on the day itself. So you have another example of a siyag d'oraisa. So one is don't own chametz. Minha Torah, Asa on Chametz, Shem you'll come to eat it. Number two, don't do malacha the last few minutes of Friday, so you don't come to do malacha on Shabbos. Number three, we'll move around a little bit. Number three, this is familiar territory for those who learned Maseches Chulin last year. Perhaps you saw this. Take a look, once you're on this page in the Maror Makamos, take a look at the bottom, in the smaller font. Rambam Perek Tes, you probably remember from last year, Perek Tes Machalos Asuris is a Perek, that's where Rambam opens discussion of Basar Bechalos. Huh? Gevaldik. So you remember the Mishnah says there are three Surim of Basar, three forbidden behaviors. Bishul, Achila, Hana. And the Torah says, Lo Sevashel, Lo Sevashel, Lo Sevashel, tell you there are three separate forbidden behaviors. You can't eat it, can't have any benefit, any other benefit from it, you cannot even cook it. You cannot even cook it. Says the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah does not make this comment in Machalos Asuras. You have to know where to look. It's in Hilchos Tumas Meis. So doing Hilchos Tumas Meis. Take a look. Yeah, the context is a little complex, but Einon Shimon Adin, let's just dive into one note. The last line of Kesef Mishnah. Inami, mashma shel osra Torah levashel ela kedei shel yavol lecha. The Kesef Mishnah is medayik in the Rambam. I'm going to leave out the details. It's not really our focus for now. But he suggested the isur d'oraisa of cooking is to avoid the isur d'oraisa of eating. Actually very similar to chametz. Chametz, you're not allowed to own the chametz, Shema, you'll come to eat it. Bas b'chalav, you're not allowed to make. You remember from last year, the isa d'oraisa of achilas bas b'chalav is only when they were cooked together. To eat a salami, a cold salami and cheese sandwich is an isa d'rabanan. The chifts of basar b'chalav, not just the isa d'rabanan basar v'chalav, meat and milk. The isa d'oraisa of basar b'chalav is only when they're actually combined together derech bishal, through cooking. And that's why Hotziah Kasev, the Shulchan Aruch, in the opening line, Simon Pei Zayin, quotes from the Rajba, Taras Abayis, Hotziah Kasev, Achila, Balash, and Bishol. Why did Taras have to say Lo Seva? Why didn't Taras say Lo Socha? The answer is no, because your own, the Isa Daraisa of Achila is only if they were cooked together, they were combined Derech Bishol. So to cook Bas Bechol is more than merely a random act. What it really means is to create a Chavtz of Bas Bechol. When you cook them together, you're taking meat and milk and making them into bas b'chol. So the Torah said, no, you're not allowed to eat bas b'chol. You're not allowed to even produce bas b'chol. Says the Kesef Mishnah, Shema Yavo La'achlo. So far, how many siyagim d'oraisa do we have? One, by Rabbi Matzah, by Chametz. Two, Tosefes, by Shabbos. Three, Bishul, by bas b'chol. Bishul by Basar B'chol. I want to be sensitive to time. So for now, we will not look at that Rambam at the end of Sefer Kabbalah, the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. He seems to say there that there are several dinim of, end of Hilchos Temura. He understands that there are several dinim by Temura, dinim in the Psukim, that are gzeros to other dinim. Siyag d'oraisa. But let's look instead at a somewhat famous Shmos Rabbah. This is quoted by the Mesillas Yesharim deeper into the Sefer. He wants to know Atamotzi Shtei Parshas Smuchos, Parshas Nazir, Parshas Sota. How come in Parshas Naso, Nazir and Sota are next to each other? What's the connection between Nazir and Sota? So the Gemara of Bavli has one explanation. But the Medrash Rab and Shmos says, you know why? They share the concept of Siyag Daraisa. The Medrash Rabba says, you know there are three things that Nazir is not allowed to have. Gimel Midin, the first mission, the sixth parak of Nazir. The three categories that the Nazir is forbidden to engage with. Your friend says he's a Nazir, can't become Tamei Omeis, can't take a haircut, and he cannot drink wine or eat any other grape products. The Torah actually has very specific. He can't drink wine. He can't eat grape skins and grape seeds and so on. Several psukim, several of the Tariq mitzvahs are about different types of grape products that are forbidden to the Nazir. So the fact that the Nazir can't become Tamil Meis, that's the sort of the spiritual aspect, mystical aspect of the Nazir. He has to avoid Tamil. The fact that he can't take a haircut and he can't drink wine, that clearly has to do with a little bit of a stepping back from full engagement to Olam Hazeh, a little bit of asceticism. Now again, the Gemara is a debate. It may not be the right thing to do. It may be wrong to be an ascetic. Okay. But whatever it is, a good thing, bad idea, Lamaisa, if a person says he's a Nazir, he's accepting a certain degree of additional precious from Olam Hazeh, additional asceticism, stepping back from Tanugi Olam Hazeh. So he's not gonna look as good. He's gonna be a little unkempt, he'll be a little disheveled, he'll be shaggy, he doesn't have a nice haircut. Okay. And he's not gonna drink wine. Okay, we understand? Grapes, grape skins, grape seeds. You can't get high on grape juice. I understand. You have a couple of, you have a glass of Merlot, you get behind the wheel of a car, Rahman Tzlan, there could be terrible consequences. Not a joke. Okay? And after half a glass of Cabernet, your judgment may be foozled and you could make decisions that you'll regret later. Okay, I understand. Grape juice? Grape skins. What's going to happen? He overdosed on grape skins. What does it mean? Why did the Torah forbid eating grapes? So the Medrash Rabba says, K'dei laharchek atzmecha min ha'aveira. Nadarta shol laharchek yayin. Amar l'kosh baruch, Rabbo Hashem says, Nadarta shol laharchek zishto zayin. You took a night, not going to drink wine? K'dei laharchek atzmecha min ha'aveira. You want to stay away from trouble, I'll tell my rainy ocha nav me'inli avon. I don't say, oh, well, eat grapes, nothing's wrong. No. Torah says, you say you're not going to drink wine, you can't even have grapes. And then he goes on to say, the same is true in the parasha of Sota. The fellow's going to say, I can't be, this woman is not my wife, so I can't be intimate with her. Okay, but I can hold her hand and give her a hug and give her a kiss. Someone else's wife, I'm just not going to actually violate Gili Arayos. The Medrash says, absolutely not. Same kishem, just like by the Nazir, he's forbidden not only to drink wine, he can't eat grapes, raisins, etc., etc. So too, Isha She'ina Shalach, someone else's wife, Asur Liga Bakol Iker. Not only is it forbidden to actually have an act of Gili Arayos, Nagi is Asr as well. Kirav Bas is Asr as well. So there you have it. Another two siyagim. All the types of grape products are forbidden to Nazir. Xeri will come to drink wine. Siyag daraisa. Mamish, psukim nechumish. Mitzvahs and the Tariq mitzvahs are there. So you to siyag to another mitzvah. And Kirav Basar is forbidden as a siyag. You may come to Bios Asuros. So we have a long list of siyagim daraisa. That's the Progressive Angle says, you think all siyagim are drabbanim. It's true, most siyagim are drabbanim. Not all. And here's the whole, and he take a look, he has more. We already saw again, number one, by Rabbi Amatze in the world of Chabetz, and Bishul, Bas Bechol, in the world of Bas Bechol, Tosefes, in the world of Shabbos, several dinim we didn't get into in the world of Temura, by Karbanos, Anavim, for the Nazir, and Kirav Basar in the world of Gilui Arayos. A long list. One more point that I'll leave you with, and then we'll see if we can make sense of Tosfos briefly. Not only is there a concept of a siyag d'oraisa, we always thought that siyagim and rabbanon, they're actually d'oraisa. I don't want to rush this. It'll take time to unpack. So let's just lay out where we're going next time. Maybe we have time for another question or two. So far we saw step one in trying to solve Tosfos. Step one in appreciating what the Ran is saying. I said before there are two layers to that Ran. So the first layer is the underlying premise that by Rabbi Matze is an Issa D'Oraisa, but is itself a Siyag to a different Issa D'Oraisa. And as we saw, that's actually a very common concept. Far more common than we might have noticed. And there are more examples also. The Tosfos Yavam is about Kibbut HaVeim, the Maram Kamas too. Many, many examples of this. What I want to see next time, if we look at the Avos de Rabbi Nassan, which is an expansion from Tanam Amrami Begaonim on Pirkei Avos. You see, it's an Asusia Glatora. The Avos de Rabbi Nassan also talks about this with a twist, sort of adds a second layer to the discussion of Siyag D'Oraisa, which once we see it more explicitly in Avos de Rabbi Nassan, we'll see that subtly implicit in the Ran. I'd said there are two layers to what's going on in the Ran with Siyag D'Oraisa. The first one is the concept of Siyag D'Oraisa. The second one is a relationship that he brings out about Siyag D'Oraisa. We'll see in Avos de Rabbi Nassan. We'll come back to see in the Ran, and then hopefully we'll be equipped next time with that in mind, with that in our kit, with those tools in hand, we'll be ready to take a look back at Tosfos. And the Tosfos that had looked like mamish, are we coming, are we going? You're trying to be Rashi for yourself, you're just invoking Rashi. Once we work out the Avos de Rabbi Nassan and fully appreciate the Ran, then the Ran is not saying the same as Tosfos, but I think it's going to give us the tools to appreciate what Tosfos saying something somewhat different, but the Ran will give us the tools to appreciate how to actually read that Tosfos properly. So Mitzvah, next time, we'll wrap this up, and then we'll be ready to go on to the next step here, which is once we work through Tosfos, to come back and figure out Rashi. I am more than glad to stick around for questions.